Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Thursday, June 21st, 2018. And with me today, Adam Christensen from the MacCast. How's it going, Adam?
Hey, good. Good to be back. Two in a row.
Two in a row. People are going to get spoiled having you around this much.
Yeah.
And speaking of people getting spoiled because you're around so much, Andrew Orr, you are spoiling people as well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
That's awesome. Hey, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs. You're going to get a discount for your first job posting that you put up in LinkedIn Jobs. I'll tell you about that soon. But let's talk about Apple and their programming right now. Andrew, you've been staying on top of what Apple's doing with their programming, you know, for all mm-hmm. the TV shows and movie sort of things that they're working on for the new service. And we now have an announcement that Apple is teaming with Sesame Workshop, which is the company that does educational programming for children. And and we have like another TV show that Apple just announced. And anyhow, so I thought we should dive into this stuff and take a look what Apple is doing with their programming.
Yeah, so there's a bunch. I mean, there is Are You Sleeping? Amazing Stories. There is a talk show drama that doesn't have a title yet, but it's the one with Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, the Ronald Moore sci-fi one, which I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah.
And then there is one called Home, which will be a documentary. And then a futuristic drama called C, a comedy series with Kristen Wiig, Vital Signs with Dr. Dre.
The comedy series with Kristen Wiig, that's the... You Think It, I See It series. Does that sound right?
I think so.
She's producing and she's also starring.
I think it came out this week that she was not going to be starring in it because it conflicts with her schedule for.
Yes. For Wonder Woman. 1984.
Wonder Woman 2. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
That's all right, Andrew. I wrote about that one yesterday and there've been so many announcements coming out. It's no wonder that you didn't see that one.
I haven't even read about this latest one, so I got to get on top of that.
Yeah, hop to it, man.
Which latest one?
Jeff sent me a link this morning.
Oh yeah, the
Little America.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Actually, that one.
So I'm looking at my article right now, and it looks like I already wrote about that.
Yeah, so the reason you would have already brought that up is Apple put in an order for that series, for that TV show, and it's one being run by the two creators of The Big Sick, Kumail Nanjiani and Emily Gordon. And so I got confused by that as well, because what Apple did was they put in an order, and I'm assuming this is like doing a pilot or ordering a pilot. And mm-hmm. this week they announced they actually picked up the series. So they're going to do a whole series. So they had put in an order for it. I guess an order maybe is more like, hey, let's produce a couple or produce some, take a look and see if it's something we want. And that's, I guess, like it's going to be a half hour show based on some articles from some true stories printed in Epic magazine. And it looks at immigrants in America. So stories of immigrants in America, I think it's kind of an anthology series.
Okay.
So they must've liked what came out of the pilot.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's technically called a pilot. I don't know enough about this industry to know, but I was totally confused by that. I'm like, wait, we covered this a couple months ago. Yeah. So that's what's happening.
Well, we're going to go with pilot because it's a word we all know and people get that it's the first show that may or may not get picked up as a whole series.
Right.
So we'll go with that. So do we know much about what Apple's doing with Sesame Workshop?
A little bit. So what I found was that it's not going to be, you know, Sesame Street. It's going to be, they ordered multiple live action and animated series. So it sounds like there's going to be a bunch of different content.
Okay.
Yep. So, yeah, because HBO and PBS still have Sesame Street.
Right. That's what I was going to ask. Okay. Yeah. So if you want to get to Sesame Street, you still have to go through HBO.
Right.
And so these will be different shows. So it's not going to be like Muppet Babies.
Well,
hopefully.
Well, we don't know. I mean, they ordered multiple series. We do know, I think, that one, at least one, is going to be a new puppet series, but we don't know what that is.
Okay. Well, I'd be totally cool for a Fraggle Rock reboot, just saying.
Yeah, hopefully they're not bringing back the new Muppet Show, which didn't do so well.
No, it didn't, but that's because they totally broke from the formula that made them.
I know, they tried to make it this adult thing, like adult sitcom-y kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
I think I watched one episode and was like, ugh.
Yeah, I didn't even complete one episode. I got partway through and thought, I can find a better use for 23 minutes of my life.
Yeah, we don't need to make the Muppets edgy.
No, just make them the Muppets. Seriously.
Well, and so this is what I mean, all of these shows, I am super stoked every time I hear what Apple is actually picking up, just because of the caliber of content they seem to be going after and the caliber of talent behind a lot of this. I mean, we had the Oprah thing announced this week, right? Mm-hmm. So they're going to be doing some stuff with Oprah. But like the kinds of people that are behind these shows are almost as important, I think, as the shows themselves. You know, they've got the J.J. Abrams thing, Sarah Bareilles. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's that caliber of people you're hearing, you know, Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. And, you know, and a lot of these are producer type things. But you start looking, too, at the writers. Like, I was already super stoked about Amazing Stories being a child of the 80s because I loved that TV show.
It was an awesome show
when I was a kid. And I actually went back and watched a couple episodes, and I think a few of them hold up. Not all of them, but definitely some of them hold up. And I found them very entertaining. But I think a couple weeks ago they announced that Adam Horowitz and Edward Kitsis, I say his name, two of the co-creators of Once Upon a Time, are going to be executive producers of that. And I think they also write and wrote some of those episodes of Once Upon a Time. And I thought that was a very creative, well done show. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people really like it.
Yep.
So. I look forward to seeing what they're doing there. And then the other thing I'm super excited about, and this is just a rumor, we don't have full confirmation of this, but that Apple is really targeting all of these shows as being quote unquote family friendly. And I think there's a range within that, but I think the edict, is that the right word?
Yeah. Let's go.
The thing they were saying was we need to be able to, any one of these shows should be playable on an Apple TV in an Apple retail store. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're not going to be getting into the areas of adult content that so many of the other programs seem to gravitate toward. And I was really disappointed. I have not seen Star Trek Discovery, but a bunch of people, friends that I know have told me that it's pretty heavy on the sex stuff in some parts and the relationship stuff, you know, adult.
Yeah, they
and
definitely
a
have a lot of
to hear that.
Adult themes, and
right.
And there's no graphic sexual acts
right.
happening, but it's it's,
even I mean, so many shows are even in prime time are heavily implied, you know, and depending upon the age of your kids and the maturity of your kids and all that stuff, this is, you know, it's hard for parents, you know, myself being a parent. You want, and especially a nerd for like sci-fi stuff and superhero stuff and things like that, you want to share that stuff with your kids And so often you find that you can't, or you're having to skip over parts and you have to pre-screen. And, and a lot of times I don't mind that stuff. Where I get frustrated is so many times it's ancillary to the main story. Like, it's not additive. It's just purely put there so that, oh, I want to see this really attractive actor or actress, you know, in less clothing
or no clothing.
Yeah. In their underwear, whatever it might be. I mean, we are talking about television, so you're right. I mean, it never gets too far, but, you know, great. I mean, there's ways to show two people are in a dedicated, committed relationship or like each other without taking it all the way to that. And I'm not against that in adult shows. I'm just saying there are more and more feels like there's a total imbalance. You know, it's harder for me to find programs that I can watch fully with my kids. And so that's what I'm hoping a lot of the stuff that Apple's going to produce is, and it gives an option. And I think that's great because they won't be competing in some ways with other stuff. I also know it's caused some problems for them. They've had some creative people, I think, leave over maybe some of the restrictions that Apple's putting on them.
Yeah. It sounds like they've lost a few people that way. They've lost a few people, or at least one person, over creative differences about just, right, you know, what the format of the show is going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But getting back to some of the shows, I mean, another one is, I think there's one based on the Isaac Asimov's Foundation series. So that's another one I'm excited about, you know, like sci-fi things are going to be awesome.
Yeah, is the Foundation one on Apple's lineup? I've kind of lost track. Yep. Oh, yep. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's also a show, an animated series I think they're doing called Central Park. That's from the creators of Bob's Burgers. And I've never seen that show, but I know people are huge fans of that show too.
Bob's Burgers is a really well done show. Is it done by the same people that do Archer?
Yeah.
So, you know, totally different style show, but they're both incredibly creative shows. And your family can watch Bob's Burgers and Archer. I don't know if I'd let kids watch that one.
No. I've seen some episodes of that. But I mean, it's the amazing thing is I think that the caliber of talent and the things that Apple is lining up, and we've heard from several sources that, you know, they're spending, I think, around $1 billion this year on content. And the focus is, they're not spending nearly what Amazon or Netflix is spending, but they're really highly focused supposedly on the quality of the show more so than getting a large quantity. I think I read this week, Netflix has 1,000 original series, original programming things out right now.
Holy crap. The stuff they've done, current things that.
A lot of it's not in the US. But I mean, even if half of it's there, and it feels like half of it's there, I go onto Amazon or onto Netflix now, and honestly, I don't know what to watch. A lot of it's really good, but a lot of it is pretty mediocre, if not unwatchable. And I think they've taken the shotgun approach. It's like, we're going to make a bazillion things and there'll be something for everyone. And, you know, if we have, you know, X percentage of flops, no big deal, because we'll have X percentages of successful things that people really like. I think Apple's taking a very, very different approach. And a great article also pointed out that Netflix launched with just 13 shows. Apple, I think, right now has 17. Mm-hmm. So they have enough to get started, and they're going to probably grow pretty rapidly once they get going.
I'm assuming because they're starting off with a bigger stable than Netflix did. And I'm finding that interesting because the amount of money Apple put up to get all of this up and running is about the same amount that Netflix and Amazon put up when they started their original content. And yep. Apple's making this come together with what looks like a stable of quality shows and more shows, and at the same budget that these other streaming services had to start.
Yeah, I think they're going to be very successful.
I think they are too. And I'm actually really looking forward to seeing what happens with Apple programming. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs. And LinkedIn Jobs, it's a service that's part of LinkedIn. So if you want to find the right person to fill a job opening that you have, well, you can put that up on LinkedIn Jobs. And this is actually better than shotgunning it out to just a bunch of different job posting boards. Because first off, you have 70% of the U.S. workforce already using LinkedIn. And there's a proven track record with LinkedIn Jobs. Companies that have hired through by finding people through LinkedIn Jobs, they have the quality of people they're getting. It's quantified as like 40% higher than what they would get other places. So, you know, and this is businesses ranking the quality of people that they get from their job listing. So they're saying, you know, what they get from LinkedIn, it's 40% better than what they're getting everywhere else. So that's pretty good. You know, if you're hunting for someone, then why not go to the target rich environment where you're likely to find the best candidates? And when you are getting your potential employees through LinkedIn Jobs, you're getting people that by and large have better qualifications or are more qualified, appropriately qualified for your job posting than some random person that's just trying to find any job they can. So LinkedIn Jobs, go and do your first job posting. And because you listen to Daily Observations, you're going to get $50 off. So here's what you do. Go to linkedin.com/TDO to get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO for $50 off. And terms and conditions apply. And thank you to LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor today. All right. The other thing that I want to hit today before we wrap up is AirPower, the wireless charging pad that Apple announced a year ago. Well, not quite a year ago, but it was last September, so September 2017. And they were showing this off with the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 10 launch event. And they said, this is great. Just, we're going to give you this pad in sell you this pad in 2018 so you can charge your iPhone, you can charge your Apple Watch, you can charge your AirPods all at the same time. And we had no news about when it would come. And there was a rumor it might come in March. Well, that came and went, and no pad and, or no AirPower. And now Bloomberg is saying that their sources are telling them September. So it will be a year after the product was announced before it will be available. And at this point, I'm thinking if it's September, they may actually announce the release date when they announce new iPhones.
Yeah, sounds very likely.
And this seems kind of crazy to me. Announce a product a year in advance and then announce it again at the next iPhone event.
Yeah. I mean, what I was reading online is that apparently there were overheating issues.
Yeah, that's one of the things that people have been saying. And I mean, I can see that because you're trying to manage multiple devices with inductive charging in a very small space. Excuse me.
Yep.
And so you have to deal with a lot of energy that's being lost as heat.
Well, and yeah, I mean, the other concern there obviously is the number one thing that kills batteries and reduces lithium ion battery life is heat. So you don't want your device as it's getting charged, you know, getting hotter than it needs to be. And they always will get a little warm, but if it's overheating, you've got a problem that's not only a problem for the charger probably, but also a huge problem for the longevity of the battery and the device.
Right. Yeah. So I have a question for you guys. Should Apple have announced AirPower last September?
They have fallen into this trap, haven't they? I mean, this isn't the only product we've had them announce, you know, a year in advance. And I'm looking at you, you know, Mac Pro. You know, and that's going to be almost 2 years or at least a year and a half. It's kind of a catch 22 in some ways. The air power is a weird one because there was no real reason to pre-announce it. Like the Mac Pro, they kind of had to because they needed to let the everybody know what was happening. It had been so long since any word of an update. The air had one. They must have really thought that they were going to be able to get it out in the first quarter or in early 2018, and then it just didn't work out. It's an odd one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if they made a last minute decision to announce it because it kind of felt like that part of the presentation wasn't as polished. And I'm wondering, did Apple feel like they had to have some sort of surprise announcement? Because everything about the launch event for the new iPhones, we knew ahead of time because everything had been leaked. And so when they announced the air power, they announced something that was a surprise. And my feeling is they should have waited, do the whole media event, even though there weren't any real surprise announcements, and give us the new iPhones. And then when the wireless charging thing was like finished and ready to go, then do an announcement about AirPad and the wireless charging case for AirPods. And then you don't have podcasts like this where we're talking about Apple announcing a product a year in advance and the trap they're in where they're pre-announcing products way too far in advance.
Yeah.
All right. So, Adam, you and I, we have iPhones, AirPods, and Apple Watches.
Right.
So now that we are looking at a year since the Air Power was announced,
right,
is this a product that you are interested in?
It wasn't a product I was interested in even when they announced it, to be honest. I don't have a Series 3 Apple Watch, so it will only work with that as far as I understand. I do have my AirPods, which I love, but that would require a new case, which all rumors seem to indicate is probably going to be about a $70 product. We don't even know what the price on the AirPower is going to be, but my assumption is it's going to be somewhere near the $200 range. And so, you know, I bought a bunch of $17 Anker chargers that I have around the house for my iPhone X, and I love those things. And I just don't know that I can justify, especially without having the ability to do three devices, the amount of cost. Now, I think it's going to be hugely popular among a lot of people, but you know, if you're asking me, am I interested in it? I don't think so.
I'm kind of with you. When they announced it, I thought, okay, that could be handy on my desk.
Right.
But I think they're looking at it more as a thing that you put in the bedroom. So you're charging.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because you're going to take your Apple Watch off. I mean, on your desk, you're presumably wearing your Apple Watch. I know I do.
And yeah, at some point during the day before I head out, I end up putting on my Apple Watch. So yeah, part of the day at my desk, I have my watch on. Yep. I'm with you. I'm probably not going to buy one of these. It just, yeah. When I can pick up a bunch of Qi compatible chargers and scatter them around my house.
Right.
Why wouldn't I just do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think if they ever get to the point where the price comes down to maybe $100, and at that point I have, you know, numerous devices that already have the charging, like I've bought my AirPods 2 and that's built in, and I've upgraded to my Apple Watch 4, and yeah, maybe I might consider it. But, you know, for me right now, no, it's I don't have enough things that I can use it for immediately.
Yeah. So, well, I'm with you. I think they announced it too early and I think a lot of people are going to love it, but I'm probably not on the list, at least initially. Hey, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. Andrew, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Adam, thank you for being here as well.
Yep, thank you.
It's great to have both of you here. And I didn't mention at the beginning of the show, but I'll mention it now. I am talking at WordCamp Denver in July. So the dates are July 28th and 29th. I'm speaking on the 28th. Come out and listen to me talk about podcasting and WordPress. So WordCamp Denver, July 28th and 29th. Thank you to LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, linkedin.com/TDO, to get $50 off your first job post. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.